Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
So last week, Pastor Claude talked about lettuce during the fast. I don't know how many of you saw that Instagram video. Some might be fasting Instagram. It was funny. Find someone who's not fasting Instagram and watch the video. Every time Pastor Claude said lettuce, someone took a bite of lettuce, so, but I don't see any lettuce heads here. No one's trying the challenge. The next part of that statement is what we're going to focus on in the next 2 weeks. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I want to talk about a bit practically what that looks like and possibly talk about why that can be easier said than done. But we're gonna read in Galatians. We've been hanging out in Galatians 5. We're going to read a bit there, going into Galatians 6 at the end of the sermon, but also we're going to be reading in Romans as well today, Romans 7. But Galatians 5 says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Paul, all throughout this book, is teaching the Galatians, guys, don't rely on traditions and just, you know, rituals to get you by. That's not going to help in you walking by the Spirit or help you resist the desires of the flesh. You need to walk by the Spirit. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, distensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul's just listing a bunch of sins to kind of say when we're living this way, we're clearly not following the Spirit of God. We're following our flesh. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. And Paul is really telling the church here, you guys are spirit people. The Holy Spirit is in you, and that should make all the difference in your life, right? The Holy Spirit is not in you just to have a few nice suggestions. Hey, maybe don't swear at your friends when they get mad at you. Hey, maybe don't treat your spouse that way, right? Hey, maybe don't watch this, but it's your choice. No, the Holy Spirit's in us to take over, to lead, and we submit to. And then we walk that out. How many of you know the Christian life is to be walked out? It's to make a difference in our life. And Paul's saying, yeah, if you're walking it out, you're wanting to reject these works. You're wanting to walk in these works. And I think, you know, even the early Christians, they were known as followers of the way. That's who we are. We're followers of the way. Jesus has made the way clear. Jesus is the way. And we follow him. Jesus said too, broad is the path that leads to destruction. And we're on this narrow path. And when you're on a narrow path, you want to intentionally think about your life. Think about your actions. Me and Val, we hiked a narrow path once called Angel's Landing in Zion Park. This is kind of the journey. This is also a two-lane highway with a cliff on either side. Yeah. It's a little sketchy. We turned back because we were wearing we were wearing sneakers and had like two bottles of water, and there were hundreds of people on this hike. So we were like, I think we don't have to walk this narrow path anymore. So we turned back so that we could live. But yeah, look at the view. But how many of you know, you can't often, when you're hiking that narrow path, you can't just say, oh, look at the view. I'm just going to walk wherever I want. It's so beautiful. Ah, then you fall, right? You have to be intentional with the way that you're walking when you're walking on a narrow path. You have to pay attention. Every step matters, right? Because the road to destruction is pretty broad. And how many of you, though, can you say that in your attempts to walk this narrow path, you have missed steps? Yeah, okay, we have some honest people here. That's good. There is a reality here that I want to talk about, a hard reality, that sometimes we desire to walk in the Spirit, and I encourage you, yeah, do it, walk in the Spirit, but sometimes we're at war with following the steps that God wants. Even just the other day, if I'm honest, I think it was this week even, or last week, I woke up, and yeah, I want to walk in the Spirit, let's go. And I'm going to read my Bible, I have my coffee, and Aliana wakes up early, and I'm like, I want to read my Bible. And then I'm just crusty, you know, when you're just crusty all morning, I'm crusty, I'm irritable. I'm driving to work, and I'm like, oh, sheesh, I'm already like off to a really bad start of walking in the Spirit today. How many of you have been there? All right, the rest of you can go home. You're good to go. But for the rest of us, that's a reality. There is this reality that we still have a fallen nature in us, the flesh. It's what Paul calls the flesh. The flesh is not your skin, what Paul says here. The flesh is that sinful drive inside of you that sometimes says, I'm going to go my own way, God. Right? The Spirit, let's go this way. Right? We're going to haul the Spirit this way. We're not going to give in to the Spirit or submit to the Spirit, but we're going to go our own way. And this is what Paul, I think, is talking about and getting at in Galatians 5:17. We read this already, but I'm going to read it again. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. How many of you have felt that conflict before? Yeah. I have some news about that conflict. It's good news and bad news. What should I give you first? Good. The good. In my notes, I have the bad news first. Sorry, I don't even know why I asked you. The bad news is that's going to be your reality for the rest of your earthly life, living in that conflict. One day you'll be free of that, but as we walk as Christians, that is the reality. The good news is, now you're in conflict with sin. Well, you used to be at peace with sin, right? You know, at one point your heart was like, let's just live that way, and now you're at war with these things. And that's good. That means you're alive. The fact that you say, I don't want to do that, I don't want to follow those desires anymore, means something's happening in your heart, right? Your heart is wanting to follow God, so that is good. And I also think the best news comes in Romans 7, verse 18, and going into chapter 8. Paul says this. It's going to start with some bad news, so maybe now we'll go back to bad news. For I have a desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. How many of you have felt that? I just can't do it. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do, I don't want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that is at work within me. This is not a good place to be, right? And some people will say Paul is writing this from a perspective of not being a Christian. I actually think that, you know, Augustine would say that, no, Paul is writing from a Christian perspective. But what's written right here is the perspective of a Christian battling the flesh with all their willpower. With all my power, I'm going to take on the powers of darkness and take on the evil flesh inside of me. How many of you have tried that? Right? Sometimes you're doing good. You're like going a few rounds. Doof, doof, doof. And eventually you get knocked out. You get knocked out. You get knocked down, and maybe you'll even get back up. You're like, I can do it. It's not good. It's like the Rocky movies, right? And you're going to lose. And this is where in Verse 24, Paul kind of comes to the end of himself. What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Here's the good news. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Someone gave a woo. I think that's appropriate. Woo! Woo! The reality of Romans 7 is not the reality we have to live in. We have a Savior who takes us not out of the fight, but we're born again. The Spirit of God is inside of us. We're brought into Christ where there's no condemnation. We're adopted as His children. We're given new power in the fight to walk by the Spirit, and then we can conquer the flesh. And this is good news. Again, we're not saved from the fight. We still have a sinful nature in us, but we have new power inside of us to overcome. And Romans 8 talks about this new power. It talks about life in the Spirit. And we're going to pick up in Romans 8, verse 5. It says this, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires." To have your mind set on what the flesh desires is really living your life minus God. Like, take everything godly, remove it, make yourself God, and say, I'm going to follow whatever I want. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to follow the desires of my heart. I want to think about me. I want to exalt me. I want to selfishly think of me, because no one else thinks of me. So I want to think of me. No one else takes care of me, so I want to think of me. I deserve it, right? And just following all of that. That's who are people who have their minds set on the things of the flesh. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's a very different life, right? How many of you can attest? This is different, right? You're no longer waking up thinking, me, 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 me. You're waking up and you're saying, Spirit, I actually want to live for what you want. What you want for my life today, that's what I want. I want to follow in your steps. I want to serve you. I want to glorify you. I want you to be exalted. I want less of me, and I want more of you. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you realize the more you think about you, the more it just brings death? How many of you have realized that? You just follow that train of thought all the way to the end. You think you're going to find a pot of gold, and you just find a pile of something. It's not good. It's not good. And you end up saying, I'm empty. This leads me nowhere. This doesn't fulfill anything of what I was looking for. And how many of you can attest when you and the Spirit are beating at the same beat and you're following Him and you're serving Him, there's life and there's peace and there's joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have experienced that? It's good. It's an awesome life. And so our experience of this is directly connected to who's governing our mind. Who's governing your mind? You know, if there's Parliament in your mind, if you think of your mind as a government, who's governing it? Is it you? Is it God? If it's you, vote him out, right? Put God there. Let the Spirit just take over your thoughts and the things of your mind. Get into the Word of God. Get into His truth. Set your mind on things above. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It's thinking about you, not about the things of God. It doesn't want to follow God's ways. You're following your ways. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. But get this, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. Tell your neighbor that. You're in the realm of the Spirit. Hey, that's cool. There's this different thing that's happened. When you gave your life to Christ, the Spirit inhabited you. Christ, you're now in Christ, and He's in you. And you're going to be, you know, you can't be separated from the love of God, and now you're in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, it goes on to say. And so this is where, again, Romans 8 is. If you look at Romans 6 to Romans 8, it's talking about our new reality in Christ. Now, when you became a Christian, it wasn't just signing up for rules and regulations. When you became a Christian, you became inhabited by the Spirit of God. You became a Spirit-led person. And I love verse 12. It says, therefore, because of all of this, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. And that word actually is often translated debt. We have a debt, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. I think another way to say this is the flesh doesn't have a claim on you anymore. So don't give your life to it. An example I'm going to use is, let's say that you racked up a credit card debt of $1 billion. It's bad. I don't know what you bought, but you'll never pay it off. And this credit card company is after you, is after your house, and they have a rightful claim on you. Again, you could say to the credit card company, I don't owe you, but you do. You're on, this is looking bad. One day the Bank of Christ calls, and you answer the phone, and they say, hey, I have a deal for you. I'm going to pay off all your debt, and I'm going to give you all that I have, but you have to give me all that you have. And that's the deal. How many of you would take that deal? Take that deal. Like, what do you even have? It's not even yours. You're owned by this credit card company, and then the Bank of Christ is going to give all they have, and you're going to essentially be prosperous and take the deal. You read the contract. The contract is ironclad. You sign on the dotted line. Awesome. The only problem is the next week, the credit card company calls and says, hey, pay up. You still owe us. What? Yeah, you still owe us, and we're taking your house. We're going to repossess your house. It's going to be ours again. What should you do in this scenario?
Call the Bank of Christ.
That's it. That's so good. It's literally in my notes. Call the Bank of Christ. They're telling the truth, and they'll say, you have no debt. You don't give them a cent. Why are you going to invest in them anymore? That debt is paid. You've been freed from that. You've been brought into the riches of Christ to be an heir with him. So you have no obligation to follow that anymore. Don't invest in that. Don't give to that anymore. You are free. Read the contract again, right? And I think that's like reading Romans. There's an early church father that, John Chrysostom, he had someone read Romans twice out loud every week to him. And I think he was just reminding himself of the identity of Christ and what it means to be in Christ. Verse 13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And so this is how we live as a Christian. The focus is not just battling the flesh with our willpower. The focus is, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, I'm a wretched man. I can't do this by myself, but you're in me. And you're in me to lead me. You're in me to fill me. You've given me everything I need to live a godly life. That's what it says in the Bible. You've made me an heir with you. You've given me your Spirit to be a helper. That's the name of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, the teacher, right? So we are now people living by the Spirit. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Who are children of God? Those who are led by the Spirit of God. Do you see how this is normal for a Christian? It's normal for a Christian to be a Spirit-led person. This is part of our identity. To be a child of God, to have the Spirit inside of us. God doesn't just want to be another voice in your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want to be another suggestion. You know, you have the way of the flesh offering one thing, you have the way of the Spirit offering another, and you say, which way should I go? Right? One time, me and Valerie went to New York, and we that's what we had. We had two GPSs. It was so confusing, and we were like, let's follow this one, see where that takes me. And then the next time, we're like, we'll follow this one, see where that takes us. Don't do that with your life. The Holy Spirit wants to be the way. He is the way. He will lead you, so you follow him. The Holy Spirit's in you so that you submit to him. And again, we're not perfect in that, but this is the life that we are called to live if we're a Christian. If we're children of God, we follow the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, the Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves to live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. When the Bank of Christ said, I'm going to own you, that wasn't about slavery. That was to bring you into the family of God. You're in the family of God. God could have said, if I pay off your debt and then give you all that I have, you're just going to be my slave, right? But God didn't want slaves. He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted to adopt you. He wanted you to be in his family. It was his great pleasure to adopt you as his children. He rolled up at the orphanage and he was like, yes, you're home. Awesome, right? So this is the relationship that we have with the Spirit. It's intimate. It's personal. Goes on to say, by him we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba there in the Aramaic is that it's probably translated dad. Daddy God. Father, you're in me. You love me. You've given me all things. Verse 16, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. One of the works of the Spirit is to convince you of your identity. Because when you know who you are, you're not going to sell short of who you are. When you know what God has called you to, that you're not obligated or debted to the flesh anymore, you're going to live the life that he's called you to live. Amen, church? Awesome. I'm going to have a bit of a long conclusion. When a pastor says they're concluding, it's probably going to be 15 minutes. So bear with me. I'm going to give us some just points of how to overcome this conflict that we all live in. Again, it is a conflict. It's going to be hard at different points, but I'm just going to give us some things that we've already talked about today. The first way we overcome this conflict is we daily crucify the flesh. We read this in Galatians. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When we give our life to Christ, one of the first things we do is we get baptized and we die to the old way and we are raised to a new life in Christ. I still remember, Nick, when I baptized you and you said, keep me under a little bit longer, right? Till the bubbles stop. That's our joke. We're dead, right, to those old ways and then raised to a new life. So we have to continue to remember we don't want to follow the flesh anymore. Christ paid that debt, amen? He set you free to follow him. So don't get back with the flesh anymore. I think what Paul said in Galatians 6:14, when he said, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, he broke up with the world. It was an ugly breakup. He said, you're dead to me. You are dead to me. Can we be friends? No. We can't be friends. Can I text you? No. It's over. Clean break, right? Break up with the world. Burn all the stuff associated with the world. Die to the ways of the world. This is our commitment. And how do we walk that out? We live by the Spirit. The Spirit of God in John 14 is the paraclete, the helper, the one who comes alongside to help. I want you to hear this really clearly. The one who comes alongside to help. How many of you need a helper to walk the ways of God? You need a helper. And I just encourage you today, another, in New Testament times as well, if you had a small boat that went out to the Mediterranean and was just lost or overcome by a storm, it needed a paraclete. It needed a bigger boat to come alongside and pull it to safety. That's what they would actually, that big boat is called the paraclete. And so I just encourage you, if today, if you're convicted and you're saying, keep in step with the Spirit, I'm way off track, you have a helper. You have a paraclete. Pray that prayer of Paul. What a wretched man am I, who will save me? Jesus will. He's not giving up on you. He's not saying, just find your way back. No. He wants you to call out to him. He wants you to say, help, I need a paraclete. I need to get out of this mess. I got myself into this. I won't get myself out. I need the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to get me through. I need a counselor. That's what the Holy Spirit is called as well. The Spirit of truth, bringing to remembrance everything that Christ had said. I think part of letting the work of the Holy Spirit Be the Spirit of Truth is also getting into the Word of God. How many of you have recommitted during the fast to do that? You don't have to raise your hands if you don't want. I've heard of a lot of testimonies of people saying, I'm getting back into the Word. And I think if the Word is the sword of the Spirit, we have to know how to wield our sword, right? Wielding your sword is not taking up your physical Bible and beating the devil like that. The Bible doesn't say I've hidden your word in my iPhone that I might not sin against you. It's your word in my heart. We need his word in our heart. We need to read Romans, the gospel, the identity of who we are, because our enemy is the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, the deceiver. Guess what he's not going to stop doing? Lying, accusing, and deceiving. We could pray, make him stop, make him stop. That's who he is. One day he'll be cast into hell, but right now that's who he is. And so we need to realize that a life led by the Spirit doesn't mean that we're going to be void of tempting and testing. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And there he said what? Each time the devil brought the temptation. It is written, it is written, it is written, right? We need to have that same word in our heart. I think a big part of this as well, of reading the Bible, is the idea of sowing to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. If I have my mind set on what the Spirit wants, I'm sowing into the Spirit. If I'm sowing into the flesh, if I'm sowing into bitterness, if I'm sowing into thoughts of lust and my mind is sitting there, I'm going to end up reaping that, right? And then I'm going to look at my garden and say, it's a mess. It's all weeds, right? But sow into the Spirit. Sow into the Spirit. When we sow a thought, we often reap an action. When we sow an action, we reap a habit, and eventually we'll reap a life. So sow into the Spirit. Be a diligent farmer of what you plant in your heart and your mind. Ephesians 5 says, be very careful then how you live. I love how practical this verse is. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. This is my next point. If we want to keep in step with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Put your hand on your neighbor and say, be filled with the Spirit. Do it again with conviction and pray that. Be filled with the Spirit. That was one of the ways that people were filled with the Spirit. Ananias put his hands on Paul and he was filled with the Spirit. The church would gather together to listen to the word to be filled with the Spirit. They would pray and have prayer meetings and be filled with the Spirit. It often happened in community. And here we, if you go back to the Galatians verse, it talks about, Ephesians verse, it talks about music and singing songs from your heart, right? These are things that lead to a filling of the Spirit. And when I'm filled with the Spirit, how many of you know when you're filled with the Spirit, the junk food that the devil sends your way, you're like, I'm full, right? Like imagine if you just ate a rich, healthy steak and then someone presents to you like year-old McDonald's food. You're going to be like, no, thank you. I'm full, right? That doesn't look great at all. It actually looks the same because McDonald's doesn't go bad, but still is bad. So be filled with the Spirit. And my last point today, I promise, here's the conclusion. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Again, we have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants to convince you. He wants to bring you back into his clutches. He wants to still lead you astray. And so it says, let us, not me. It's not just my journey, it's us. God put us in a family. In Galatians 6, if we kept reading from Galatians 5, the passage we started off with, Galatians 6 says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. First of all, if you have friends in your life that are calling out your flaws and your sin and they're trying to restore you with love and gentleness, They're not judging you, they're loving you, right? They're trying to bring you back on track. And this is why us as a church, we have courses like the Conquer course, we have courses like Brave Hearts, we have the Set Free, because keeping in step with the Spirit is not a solo job. And I really believe that whenever you see someone really growing in their faith, they're rooted in church. They're rooted in community. They have people in their life that are sharpening them. If you go to California and you see the redwood trees, you see these massive tall trees. But you'll never see one of those trees by itself, because what redwood trees do is they intertwine their roots together. Their roots are actually fused together, and so when wind comes, they're not gonna blow over, because they don't just have their roots, they're intertwined. Who's that for you, right? When you do misstep, when you fall off course, who are you gonna call? Your friends, these people that are gonna, don't call Ghostbusters. These people in your life that are gonna war with you, these people in your life that are gonna say, point you back to Jesus, these people in your life that are gonna say, I'm gonna contend with you. Right now, you know, I have faith to pray for you. And this is where, again, God put us in a community. So let us do this together. It's no one, it's not a solo job. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Let me keep in step with the Spirit. Yeah, but let us. Let's do it together. Amen? Let's stand and pray. God, we thank you that we're not in the realm of the flesh. We're in the realm of the Spirit. And God, whenever we get back into that Romans 7, trying to duke it out with the flesh with all my power, let's remember that you brought us into Christ. You put your Spirit inside of us to lead us, to guide us, to empower us, to free us from sin, to rid us from that life, to give us new power. And Jesus, I just pray that we would be a people locked arm in arm to keep in step with the call that you have for us. God, thank you so much that even if we're lost, even if we're out at sea all alone, we don't know the way home, we have a paraclete. And I just invite you, if that's you today, you've gone off course, you're like, I don't know how I got here. I'm far off the path that God wants for me. Cry out to him, I need a helper. Don't just have a helper in the Holy Spirit, also have a helper in a brother and sister that's gonna pray with you and walk with you as well. And thank you, Jesus, that you freed us. Thank you that for offering, that you became poor so that we could become rich in you, so we can spend eternity with you, so that we can be an heir of Christ, like Romans 8 goes on to say. Thank you for this beautiful life, that by your Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. And you are in us to lead us and guide us and empower us to live the life that you've called us to. Amen. Let's sing to God.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.